through what all that you face, every dilemma, every trial, every test, every hurt, every pain, no matter what comes your way, do you really believe in your heart? Has it settled there that wherever God leads you, even if it's painful, that you have the victory?
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Hello again, and thanks so much for tuning in. In Pastor Bill's study today, the Apostle Paul tells us, "For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved." So let's join Pastor Bill for today's message from 2 Corinthians. What's this I smell?
Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to 2 Corinthians. We're going to be in chapter 2 as we continue our study. We're beginning this morning at verse 12. Remember, I wasn't with you last week. Steve Carroll and I, we were in Mexico, had a great time. So let's get back on track. And that is, remember that this church that Paul is writing to in the second epistle is a church that he's deeply in love with. And it is a church that is divided, a church that is getting drunk at the Lord's Supper, abusing the gifts of the Spirit. You name it, they're doing it. But now false teachers have entered into this church. And so Paul is writing to them, revealing his heart. Matter of fact, in this epistle, which is a great, great epistle by Paul, he reveals his heart to this church and to us as no other epistle does. And he's defending his ministry. He's defending his character. He's defending his apostolic calling because these false teachers have now come into the church. The Corinthians are, of course, listening to them. And they're saying, well, Paul is fickle, and he says one thing and he does the other. And that he's actually weak in presence, even though his letters are strong. And he's also preaching the good news because he's a peddler of the gospel. In other words, he's doing it for money's sake. Now, we know that is not true. This morning, as we look at one of the greatest verses in the New Testament, we'll be there in just a moment. But as we do, I pray your hearts are open to the great truth. You know, I want to talk to you this morning as we start in verse 12 on the topic of what is this I smell? And so let's begin beginning in verse 12. Paul writes to the church at Corinth and to us as well. He says, "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord," meaning a door is always that opportunity to go and do the will of God. And he says, "But you know what? I had no rest in my spirit." And the reason? "Because I did not find Titus, my brother, but taking my leave of them, I departed for Macedonia." Later on today, if you have the opportunity, you can go into Acts chapter 16 and you can see what Paul is talking about here. And of course, he was restless in his heart. He was not fearful or anything like that. But Titus had delivered the first epistle, 1 Corinthians, to the church. And now he was waiting for Titus to come back and give Paul their response or their reaction and so forth because he was in love with the church. He wanted them to agree with the things that had been written. Now, with all that being said, he breaks away now from his narrative and he picks up Titus and the topic he's speaking of all the way over in chapter 7, beginning in verse 5. But right now, we look at one of the great scriptures in the Word of God, beginning in verse 14, where Paul says this. Paul says, "Now thanks, give thanks unto God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen? He says, give thanks to God, and he tells us why. Who always, not sometimes, not part of the time, if you were a believer, look at this word, who always leads us in one continual victory. Triumph is the word. And it's only done, look at the next, in Christ and through us diffuses or makes manifest or spreads the smell or the fragrance or the aroma of his knowledge in every place. Now let's set this up. When Paul penned that to the church at Corinth, they had a picture immediately in their mind of what Paul the apostle, of what he was saying and what he meant. So this is a picture in the first century of that area, or in Rome, if you will, of a Roman commander coming into the city of Rome as a victorious general. And so that's what this verse is implying. He's using it, you know, to just give us a picture, if you will. And so the Roman triumph that was awarded to a general was the highest honor that could ever be given to any victorious Roman general. Now, if you study out Roman history, I believe maybe there were a little over 300 of these type of awards that were given out during the history of Rome. So it's a great honor. But the conditions for this honor, number one, the commander-in-chief or the general had to be in the field. He had to be the actual leader of this battle. He had to kill at least 5,000 of the enemy in one battle. He had to gain new territory for Caesar or for Rome, not old territory. And then also, when that happened, then he could come home. And when he came home, he would be riding in a golden chariot. His army would be following behind him. And there was, oh man, it was a great parade. It was unbelievable. And behind his army were the spoils of war. All the things that they confiscated, the booty, if you will, from the land. You know, when Titus invaded Jerusalem, remember Jesus said, he prophesied, and he said, there'll not be one stone left upon the other. Jerusalem will be leveled. He prophesied that 40 years or 30 some odd years before Jerusalem ever fell, and it fell to Rome, of course, under General Titus. And when Titus returned from Jerusalem into Rome, they gave him that parade. And guess what? He carried as the spoils of war all the beautiful things that were in the temple, the golden candlesticks and the golden plate of showbread and all of the things that were there. He paraded that in. So that's the picture that Paul is painting. Now listen, right behind the spoils of war, okay, all the things that they confiscated, then would come their captives. And those captives were chained, okay? And the king was there, unless he had been killed in battle. All the royal people, the princes and so forth, and they were all the prisoners of war, and they were being led in. And their mighty soldiers, the tallest soldiers, the strongest warriors, they were chained right behind the princes. Now, they were all coming into the city. And as they came into the city, which they were going to go die, by the way, to be executed, then the priest and all the people on every side, as they traveled from the outskirts of Rome all the way to the capital, they were burning incense. And the smell of incense, I mean, all day long. Sometimes this parade literally lasts from sunrise to sunset, and the fragrance was all over, lingering all over the city. Now, that is the that smell of fragrance, that's where I want to concentrate on. That gives us an application now to understand what Paul was saying in verse 14. Let's read it again. Now, thanks be unto God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, through us diffuses or makes manifest, meaning the smell or the fragrance, the aroma of his knowledge in every place. Question, when you read that, is it only mental? Is that head knowledge or heart knowledge to you? Now, that's a challenge. Do you really believe that God, the Father, who loves you, who sent his only begotten Son to die for you, do you really believe what he says? He always leads us in triumph. Loved one, listen, who was our commander-in-chief who came from heaven to earth? He came. Yes, he did. And when he came, did he go into enemy territory? Just like that other Roman general? Did he take people captive? You better believe it. Us. Them. Amen. He didn't come to kill people and the 5,000 casualties. He came to save the whole world, didn't he? So you see the parallel here that Paul is telling us. Matter of fact, it says in Colossians 2:15, this word triumphing is used only there. Again, having disarmed, it says, principalities and powers, Jesus made a public spectacle of them, a public parade. In other words, he was leading them through the spiritual world, if you will, the devil, the angels, and all the rest, the fallen angels. And it says, triumphing over them in it, meaning the cross. You see, we win because Jesus won. He has removed our chains. We are his spoils of war. He's walking before us, and we're his army now. Amen? He's delivered us from the darkness of the power of darkness, translated into the kingdom of his dear son. Loved one, he has defeated sin and death and the devil and all of it. And we are his captives. We are his spoils of war. Thanks be unto God who always, not sometimes, always leads us in triumph. The word, the Greek word triumph, which I cannot pronounce, literally means the state of being victorious. That is our position. We are right this minute, if we are in Christ Jesus, we are victorious. Amen? That's what we need to understand. But do you really believe, through what all that you face, every dilemma, every trial, every test, every hurt, every pain, every suffering, every persecution, no matter what comes your way, do you really believe in your heart? Has it settled there that wherever God leads you, even if it's painful, that you have the victory? Loved one, you've got to believe that because that is the Word of God. Every place that God leads you is a place that he has designated, and it is a place of victory. Amen? See, are we following the Lord? We're in the procession. We're following the Lord. Loved one, and listen, we're his sons and daughters. We're his purchased possession. We don't fight for victory anymore. We fight from victory. Why? Because we are in Christ Jesus, our Lord. See, Paul was Jesus's captive. Paul was sold out. Are you sold out? That's always a question we need to ask our heart. Bill, are you sold out? Is Calvary Chapel, are we sold out? Now, loved one, listen, how do we truly today, the 21st century Christian, you know, the first century, they've already done their job, but we're still here. How do we truly share in Christ's triumph? One very, very important word, and it's found right there in verse 14 again. It says, God, who, not sometimes, who always what? Leads. Who always leads. That's that word. That's the most important word in the text right now, is that word leads. See, in order to be led, you have to want to follow. Amen? And if you're not following, then you're in trouble. In other words, you ask yourself right now, is Jesus leading your life? Is he leading your marriage? Is he leading your business or whatever, your singleness, your finance? Is it your heart? See, I know, and you know as well, many believers, they say, I believe verse 14. I just don't do verse 14. Amen? In other words, I like where God leads me. You know, you can smell fear. Did you know that? You can. That person's afraid. Now, I'm not talking about going into a neighborhood that you know is dangerous. I'm just talking about following the Lord. Amen? There should be absolutely no smell of fear, no matter where Jesus leads us. Just say, Lord, wherever you're leading us, we have the victory. You know, and so many Christians, whether it's fear or whether it's out of disobedience or maybe it's just because, Lord, you're wanting me to go do this. And you look at it and you go, this is crazy. This is impossible. Well, with God, all things are possible. You see, he calls us to walk on water sometimes, amen? He's always stretching our faith. We're the whirlwind of God, amen, this year. Oh, listen, I look at all this. Oh, God, you're so good. Listen, there are many Christians. They don't like how God leads. They don't like where God leads. And man, sometimes they don't like when he leads. Let that never be said of us, amen? Listen, wherever the Lord leads you, if you're following him, he is always leading you to a place of victory, of triumph. And he said, well, I was defeated there. Good. You got cleaned up. Now you're back at it. Do you understand? Oh, listen, you know, why would any Christian, any believer resist the leading of God who always leads us in triumph? Why would we do that? When David, King David, when he wrote, well, he was just a lad when he wrote this probably, but Psalm 23, you know it by heart. The Lord is my, David knew it's his owner, didn't he? The Lord, you're my shepherd, you're my owner, you're my master. The Lord is my shepherd, I will always be in want. No, I will not lack for anything. Why? The God of the universe, the Lord, the creator of everything, he's my shepherd. Oh man, listen, you know what God does? He makes me, he causes me, meaning he leads me, he causes me to lie down in green pastures. Wow, I like green pastures. That doesn't mean he takes you to the grass. You know that? It means he takes you to a location where you're going to be well fed. You're not going to be starved. Does that make sense? See, yes, he not only does that, the Bible says that we also, that he leads me beside troubled waters. No, that's Paul Simon. Bridge over troubled waters. No, he leads me beside still waters. He leads me there. Man, I think, oh God, you are so good. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear. Yes. Why? He's leading me. Do you understand? Even in death, he's leading me through. Loved one, listen to me. We never need to be afraid where God is leading us. But Bill, it's hard. We're going to maybe do without. Oh, don't worry about that. What about Elijah? Did he complain about the location? You want me to go where, Lord? The brook Cherith? We're going to have a drought? Well, there's water. Thank God I have some water. Well, how am I going to eat? It's desert. I'm going to send in some ravens morning and evening for you, buddy. Really? Ravens? You're going to feed me with birds? You're going to drop off some... Come on. Oh, I know you would go, yes, Lord. Yes. No, you wouldn't. No, you go, okay, yeah. You'd be sitting there going, all right. And then all of a sudden, there they come. Well, boom, boom, thanks. Go down and have a little water. Listen, the brook Cherith, even though maybe it wouldn't be where you would want to be, or I would want to be, or Elijah, maybe he didn't even want to be there. But it was the place that God led him. Amen? It was a place of miracles. It was a place of his provision. And it was his triumph. Why? He obeyed. You see, that is the key to walking in that victory. It doesn't mean it's comfortable. It doesn't mean that it's painless. It doesn't mean that you're not going to be persecuted. No, that's not the gospel, loved one. That's not the word of God. You're going to go through things in this life. But God says, wherever you go, whatever you do, if I'm leading you, you're in victory. Can I challenge you just for a moment? Because I challenge myself too. I mean, I'm one of you. We're all sheep, amen? Don't you think really and truly that it's shameful, for a Christian to say in his heart, in his mind, to other people, well, I'm just trying to get through the territory. I'm just trying to make it. Truth is, man, I'm just trying to get the victory. Does that trouble you? It troubles me. I believe no matter what happens, no matter what we face, and we're all going to face things that hurt so bad, that's going to hurt our hearts, that's going to say, Lord, why? And I'm going to tell you that whatever it is, God is always, he loves you. He'll never lead you to a place that's not victorious. It's shameful for a believer to say, I don't know, I'm just trying to get the victory over this or the victory over that. You know what? What did Paul write us in the book of Romans chapter 8? Let me just read it to you. He says in Romans 8:31, Paul says, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Do you know what he's saying? Listen, if President Trump is for you, not if Pelosi is for you. No, who cares? But not just anyone, but God. God himself, the creator of everything. If God is for you, who in their right mind, even the entire universe, it doesn't matter. God created everything. Who would dare stand against God? Because God is for you. Do you understand that? He's always for you every minute. He goes, he didn't spare his own son, meaning Jesus Christ. God gave us his best. He gave us his all. He goes on, he says, but he delivered him up, meaning to the cross, for us all. How shall he not with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? That's you, loved one. It's God who justifies. Who's going to condemn? It's Christ who died. bore the penalty of our sin, and furthermore is risen from the dead, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Now listen carefully. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? All these things. Now listen. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long, we're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Now listen to what Paul says. I'm talking about being triumphant in Christ. He says, yet in all these things, tribulation, distress, persecution, no matter what it is, in all these things, we are present tense. We are right now more than conquerors through him who loved us. It doesn't matter if you are rich or if you are poor, if you have a big home or a little home or a motor home. Do you understand? Your eternal position is that you are forever triumphant. Do you believe that? See, that's the key. That's the attitude that every believer should have in their mind and living, not only as a fact, but then transferred down, living in our hearts. And listen to what Paul says. Let me continue reading it while I have the opportunity. He says then, for I am persuaded, or I stand convinced. Listen carefully. I love this. Neither death, neither life, man, angels, nor principalities or powers. That means the demonic world that's defeated, by the way. Nor things present, whatever's happening today, whatever's on the way, nor things to come, height or depth, any other, or even any created thing. Think about that. I'll create this, it'll be against you. It won't work. He says, shall ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are eternally victorious in Christ Jesus. Do you see now why I say it's shameful for a believer? Now, I can understand if you're not taught the truth, if you don't know the truth. I'm not saying, you know, I'm beating you up. But for someone who knows God's word and to say, well, I'm just trying to get the victory, when God says you already have the victory, Ephesians 1:3, you are already blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ in heavenly places. That's not in heaven. That's now, right now. And I look and I say, oh, God, you're so good. Listen, you know what? Here's the question we have to answer ourselves. If Christ captured us, if we're part of that procession that we're running toward heaven, he's already there. We're on the way. Has he captured your heart? Well, he has some of it. But does he have it all? Does he have it all? Has he captured your will? He took your chains off. He freed you. You're no longer of this world. Does he have your will? Is your will, has your will now, is it swallowed up in the will of Christ to follow him, to do whatever he wants you to do? You know, loved one, see, to be triumphed over by Christ is to triumph with Christ. Amen? We're his spoils. We're his children. We're children of God. You know, when it says thanks be unto God, do you ever just ponder about that? In the beginning was God. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God, Genesis 1:1. Think about that. In the beginning, it was God. And guess what he did? He created everything. It wasn't the Big Bang. The Big Bang is a comedy on TV. Do you understand? No, it wasn't that. Listen, God created everything, and how did he do it? Out of nothing. You try that sometime. Out of nothing. Man, I'm going, whoa. And you know what the Bible says about Christ our Lord? And by him, all things consist, meaning everything in this universe is in the hands of our Savior. They're being held together by him. And I'm going, oh, Lord, I love that. It's like this guy was talking to me the other day. He believed in evolution. And I go, okay. He says, yeah, we were slime. I said, you mean you were slime? Did you call me slime? Well, then after you were slime, what happened? We became invertebrates. Okay. And after that, what happened? We became those bony little fish. I said, really? Man, that's deep. Then what happened? Then we became those little creepy things that slithered onto the land. I said, is that right? I said, what happened then? He said, well, then we turned into a bunch of apes. I said, really? Yeah. And then what happened? He said, then it was you and me. You know, I told him to slither on out of here.
We hope you'll join us next time for the conclusion to today's message. And as always, we appreciate you listening to the program today. Have a great day, and so long for now.
If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.